the truth. We pray that if anything that is said that is an error, especially on my part, that you would correct us and show us the truth in a more excellent manner. I think as I grow older and learn more things, become more experienced in life, that I realize more and more that we are not in control of ourselves in this world. I think we sometimes tend to delude ourselves and say that we're all powerful in and of ourselves, that we can do anything. Our scientists are coming up with cures for diseases that even 10 years ago were unheard of. We just feel like that almost that we're just powerful enough to do anything that we want to. But I think that we eventually become aware that man in and of himself is not capable of anything, the strength that he needs without some sort of outside help, without somebody that is all-powerful. And when we become mindful of this fact, that having been brought into a covenant relationship with Christ, that we have the right to listen to God, and not only do we have that right to listen to God, but we have a right to talk to God, to pray to God also. We are a priesthood, and as a priesthood, we have that right to go to God and ask for help. So it's not only a privilege, I think, to talk to God and so forth, but it's also a means of effectively altering the circumstances of our lives. As we go about meeting the challenges that face us day to day, the trials and so forth that we face, we can call upon God, and I think through prayer have an effective means of meeting these challenges and of altering our lives as the case may be. As we've sung about prayer tonight, I hope that you listen to the words and thought about them. For a little while, let's talk about prayer. And as an introduction to the lesson, I want to read a couple of verses out of 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, beginning with the first verse. Paul here says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty." As we start out, we need to realize the importance of prayer in our lives. We might ask ourselves, exactly what is prayer? Prayer is communicating with somebody other than ourselves. It's a communication with God. And I want to make a simple definition of prayer tonight if we talk. And that prayer is just simply a talking to God. When we pray, we are talking to God. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, beginning, Jesus uttered what is called, or what is his example of prayer. In John verse 17, Jesus prayed to the Father his own personal prayer. And also in Mark 1 and verse 35, we're told that Jesus rose up early in the morning and went out into the desert and prayed. These are examples of Jesus' personal prayer, but in Matthew 6 and verse 9, Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven." So when Christians pray, they are talking to God. Now we might ask the question at this point, to whom are we talking to? Is it God, or can we address our prayers to Christ? The only place that I know of in the Bible is in Acts 7 and verse 59, where an individual addressed a prayer to Jesus Christ. And I think the circumstances here are quite different than we are under today. In Acts 7 and verse 59, you recall that Paul, who was then called Saul, was consenting to the death of Stephen. And in verse 59, Stephen said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Now, in this particular case here, Stephen was personally looking at the Christ. It was, if you go back up to verse 56, it says, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." This was an individual prayer of Stephen to Christ, and he was actually looking upon Christ. Now, we today are not in this particular situation. Christ is our mediator, and I don't believe that we, in our prayers, pray to Christ. The examples of prayer that we have in the New Testament, the examples that the Lord gave us, the examples of His own personal prayer, are all addressed to the Heavenly Father. So when we pray, we are talking to God. But another thing, Christians are a priesthood. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, says, "We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." We are a royal priesthood. Now, the word priest is an ancient word. It's drawn out of antiquity. And the idea of a priest is somebody who is a go-between. If you go back into the Old Testament and study the Levitical priesthood, the priests back then were go-betweens. The people of Israel at that time had to go through the Levitical priesthood, or the tribe of Levi, in order to reach God. Their sins were removed from them each year through the priest. And even today, we can see this idea of the priest in the world. It's been brought into our own time by some of our religious friends who say that you have to have a priest in order to pray to God. I don't believe that this is New Testament based. I believe that on my deathbed that I can pray to God direct without having to go through somebody else in order to reach Him. I don't have to rely upon anybody else in order for me to talk to God. This idea of a priesthood, as far as somebody as a go-between, was done away with at the cross of Christ. When Christ shed His blood, we all became priests in order that we might effectively pray to God in our lives. So, what we're saying then is that Christians are talking to God. We are addressing personally God, and we don't have to go through anybody else. We could also deal with the idea that is a man's prayer heard if he's not a Christian? And I think this is dealt with in John 9 and verse 31. John here says, "Now we know that God hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth." Now Jesus had just healed this man who was blind. And then in verse 31 He says that we know that God hears not sinners. So in a sense, I think the prayer of a sinner is an abomination to God. It represents nothing more than the hypocritical offerings by which one doesn't really intend to live. But we can also go to Acts the 10th chapter and look at the situation of Cornelius. Cornelius was not a Christian at the time. He was a Gentile, a Roman centurion. But we're told that his prayers had come up before the Lord as a memorial. But we just got through reading in John 9:31 that God does not hear the prayers of a sinner. But I think the circumstances here in Acts 10 were that Cornelius was diligently praying to God in order that he might know what was right and what he could do. He acknowledged the Lord. He prayed as best he knew how. But he did not yet understand that Jesus was our high priest, that he was our advocate, our go-between. Now, he was given the opportunity by Peter. Peter came and preached the gospel to him. And Cornelius and his household was given the opportunity to obey. Now, we can say that when Cornelius had been given the opportunity, he had heard the word preached, and he had still failed to obey, then I don't think that he could expect, or rightfully expect to, have his prayers heard by God. But the fact was that he was diligently seeking to know what was right. He was praying to God. And when he heard and understood what was right to do, and he obeyed then his prayers were a memorial before God. But when we're talking about prayer, it's basically a privilege given to the children of God because of the shed blood of Christ. And we're talking about God's children talking to God. And I think as we teach our children how to pray, then if we'll keep the simple definition of talking to God, I think it'll mean more to them as they grow up and learn to pray. Now, the Bible does command us to pray. We hear people say prayers. We see situations all the time where it's just a repetition. They memorize something and they say it over and over. It's just a liturgical manner of praying. In verse Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Prayer is commanded. Prayer is an effective way of offering our lives. And it is very clear that the Lord expects us to pray. And the question is, would He ask us to pray if He knew full well that our prayers would mean nothing? If He had no intention of answering our prayers, why would He ask us to pray? Romans 12 and verse 12 says, be instant in prayer. And the idea of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, when He says, pray without ceasing, He's talking about an attitude that we should have, an attitude of always being prayerful. Being, not necessarily praying all the time, but being in a prayerful attitude. We should always have a prayer on our lips or in our hearts. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But the Lord intends for us to pray. I think also that we can look at the idea that as a Christian, our prayers are a sacrifice to God. In Revelation 5 and verse 8, you recall that the book was brought forth and none was worthy to open the book save the Lamb of God. And beginning in verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Now, under the old law, they offered up incense and sacrifices unto the Lord as a means of sacrificing to Him. Now, under the new law, our prayers are a sacrifice unto the Lord. It's a spiritual sacrifice. When we pray, we're offering up pleasing fragrance, pleasing odors unto the Lord as a spiritual sacrifice. In Psalm 141 and verse 2, says, let my prayer be set before thee as an incense. And in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. As we talk about prayer, I think it's good that we define the different types of prayer. And as we read in the beginning, in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, there are basically four types of prayer that are enumerated here. And the first is supplication. Now, the word supplication just means an intense expression of need. Our prayers ought to be an expression of our intense desire to God. And then he says, supplications and prayers. Our conversations with God, when we are talking to God, Prayer is an intense or reverent feeling to God. The verb from which our word to pray comes in the New Testament conveys the idea of reverence, respect, totally concentrated, and attentive speech to the individual which we are addressing. And then he says, intercession. An intercession is one of the greatest privileges that we have as a Christian. And what it basically means is that I have the right to speak to a second individual about the needs of a third individual. I can go to God and pray to God about the needs of somebody else. We sometimes call up somebody and we find out they're sick. We ask them if there's anything that we can do for them, and they say, pray for us. We can pray for these individuals that they can be made well. We pray sometimes for those that are preaching in foreign places. And what we're doing, we're not only sending them our money, but when we pray, we are praying for these people that the word might be spread, that they might have the strength, the courage to speak the word in all its truth. They might spread it throughout the world. But when we talk about intercessions, what we're basically saying then is that I have the right to talk to God about the needs of another individual. And it's one of the greatest privileges that we have. I can go to God and pray that somebody else, for somebody else. And he also says, giving of thanks. I think in our prayers that we sometimes pass lightly over this idea of thanks to the Lord. I think there's a real necessity when we pray to thank God more often. Thank Him for the things that He has given us. We sometimes sing a song, Count Your Many Blessings. But oh, you just don't know how bad it is. You just don't know what difficult circumstances I'm under. Well, let's turn it around. And look upon the other side. Think about all the good things that you have. Sure, you've got some things that are bad, but think about the good things. We are here tonight because we have help. Thank God for your help. Not everybody has help enough that they could be here. We all have eyes. Thank God that you can see. We have jobs. We have families. Thank God for these. We need to go to God in prayer more often and thank Him for what He has given us. Without God, we wouldn't have anything. I've been privileged on a couple of occasions to be in the Rocky Mountains, to be in the Smoky Mountains, and to see the beauty of this world. And I thank God that He has made this world beautiful for us. We have a lot of things that we need to be thankful for. And if we would just stop to count our blessings, we could overlook all the bad things that we have. We wouldn't feel sorry for ourselves anymore. Stop and count your blessings. Thank Him for everything that you have. And I don't think it's a bad idea that we can, in our prayers, enumerate things. Thank Him individually for things that you have. We need to do this more often. In Philippians 4, in verse 4, which we just read, And verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks. Sometimes an individual will say, well, I don't know how to pray. I've never led a prayer in the services before, and I just don't think I could pray. But I recently heard of a little memory catcher that I think would help us to pray. PTA, And by that I mean praise the Lord, thank the Lord, and ask the Lord. Now we talked about thanking the Lord and asking the Lord. For just a few moments, let's talk about praising the Lord. In Hebrews 13 and verse 12 beginning, the writer here says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Give thanks to the Creator of this world. Give thanks to the Creator of everything that is in this world. Praise the Lord. He has made it. He's made everything that we have." And the great Psalm, Psalm 8, and I want to take time just to read the whole Psalm here. David offers praise unto God. And he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hath set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." It's a very beautiful psalm by David. And praise to the Lord. Praising God for all that he has done. When we thank the Lord, let's also remember to praise him. Praise him for what he has done for us. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, which we alluded to earlier, Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Our Lord starts off his prayer, his example of prayer, in praise to God. The word hallowed in the New Testament means holy. It means revered be your name, reverence be your name. Jesus, when he started his prayer, praised God. And I think we can look at the rest of the prayer and see that he also thanked God and he asked God. These three things ought to be in our prayers. Not necessarily in this order, but I think that's probably the order that you would find it more often than not in the Bible. In Acts 4 and verse 24, you recall that Peter and John were in danger of losing their lives. They were told by the people that if they spoke any longer in the name of Jesus, that they would be killed. So, as a result of this, the disciples decided to pray over it. And it's interesting here exactly what they prayed for. They didn't pray for deliverance. Beginning in verse 24, "And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." They were in danger of losing their lives. And the first thing they did was praise God. We can read on in verse 25 as they quote part of Psalms 2 to the Lord. But even here they didn't ask for deliverance. They asked for all boldness that they might speak the word of God. So as we pray, let us remember that we have four different types of prayer. Supplication, our intent, expression of our own personal needs. Prayer is a reverent feeling toward the one that you're talking to. Intercession, the idea that we can intercede on somebody else's behalf. And thanks. Let's thank the Lord for everything that He has given us. And as a little memory helper, PTA, praise the Lord, thank the Lord, and ask the Lord. Let us pray as often as we can. God is not deaf to our prayers. Prayers are an effective means of altering the circumstances of our lives. We can go to God in prayer and ask for help, and He will answer our prayers. Tonight, would you like the privilege of prayer as a child of God? Job said, when all of this is over, I will speak to Him and not as a stranger. Would you like the privilege of going home tonight and putting your head on the pillow and being able to talk to God as a child of God? It's a great privilege to be able to go to God in prayer and forget about all your other worries. If you would like to pray to God and address Him as my Father, the opportunity is given to anyone to obey the invitation that is in need of it, that you might repent of your sins and turn to God. You might be immersed in under the waters in baptism, being baptized into His name, and that privilege of prayer will be yours. You will be able to go to God in prayer and have nothing else to worry about. So if you are in need of the invitation in any way, the opportunity is given to you now as we stand and sing.